Welcome to the Impact Coffee podcast. Impact Coffee is being held every month at Deichmanske Main Library in Oslo, and here is Chris to introduce today's podcast.
Thank you, Arne. This morning, we're going to be talking about the future of social innovation, and we're going to be doing that with Maretta from Worldwide Narrative and Ernesto from the Finnish organisation Sitra. They're over in Finland at the appropriately named Future of Social Innovation Seminar, organised by Six Nordic. So, Maretta, could you first of all tell us a little bit about Six Nordic?
Six Nordic actually got started when we were Anna Sørensen from Social Plus in Copenhagen and I attended an event in Poland in November 2011. And it was the sixth event, the Social Innovation Exchange event. It's a network organization, you know, connecting people who work with social innovation globally. And we were, you know, it was a really good event and we really enjoyed it. But at the same time, we were like, I think we need more examples that are more similar to our countries and connect, you know, the challenges that we have in Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, and Iceland. And we thought, you know, why don't we make a regional network for social, you know, the exchange, social innovation exchange, you know, connecting ideas, knowledge, people, to learn from each other rather than, you know, trying to solve the same problems but not talking to each other and learning from each other. So that was the starting point for Six Nordic, really. And then we launched in March 2013 with an event in Copenhagen. And then we had a second event in Oslo, October 2013. So it's all about, you know, meeting up and connecting and workshopping around challenges, really, and sharing knowledge. And then we had a third event last year in December in Copenhagen again with Social Plus, the Danish partner. And this year, Sitra is joined Six Nordic as the Finnish partner. And they're hosting this year's event, really. And that's where we're at right now. It's actually starting right now. And then our Swedish partner is Mötesplats för social innovation, or Forum for Social Innovation, Malmö. No, actually, they're based in Stockholm, but yeah. And we're still looking for that Icelandic partner, which we're going to do a better job looking for them in the next few months. But so this event is about sharing knowledge about how to scale, you know, the futures of social innovation and how to scale. But yeah, that's pretty much Six Nordic, about connect, you know, growing a network in within social innovation in the Nordics, not just locally and nationally, but Nordic.
And Ernesto, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about yourself and the role of Sitra in Finland.
Yeah, sure. Well, good morning, first of all, to everyone from here in Finland. my name is Ernesto Hartikainen. I work at Sitra. Currently, I work as a circular economy specialist. But for the past 1.5 years, I used to work in Foresight, our strategy unit. So looking at the future, looking at future trends, both for Sitra, so Sitra's trend work, but also a national foresight. So in Finland, we try to look at how could we combine the knowledge about the future of different organizations so as to help political decision makers in making better decisions. And this has been the aim of this national foresight work. Just a few words about Six Nordic as well. I mean, Sitra was sponsoring Six Global, the global network of the social innovation exchange, before. So I think Sitra was one of the founders of Six Global back in when I wasn't working at Sitra. I think it was back in 2008 or something like that. But then last year we thought, just like Merete said, we sort of had the similar thoughts that perhaps we could look at this Nordic cooperation and look at the social innovators and people working with social innovation in the Nordics and better share knowledge on that. Sitra itself, here's a few words about Sitra. Sitra is a rare fund under the Parliament of Finland. We were founded in 67 by the Bank of Finland, first to fund the research and development activities of Finnish companies, but later another organization was founded for that, Tekes. Those who know the Finnish society perhaps know Tekes. And nowadays, Sitra works more as a think and do tank. So we try to think about the future of Finland, how does Finland succeed in the future, and looking at different subjects, different problems. And here, social innovation, of course, is one part of it. We're sort of are structured into three themes. One focuses on the economy, one focuses on society, and one on the environment. So looking at this notion of sustainable well-being and how do we create that in a society such as Finland. But yeah, this is pretty much there's 120 people working at Sitra, so in that sense, I mean, it's very interesting this cooperation between very different types of organizations. Some organizations are very small, some sort of larger, and then some people come from the public sector, some from the third sector. So I think that has been very, very interesting with this cooperation.
That's interesting. So is it all public money that Sitra is funded by, or is it some self-generated?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, and that's where I think Sitra is quite unique. Even globally, but especially perhaps in Nordic sense. Sitra is a self-managed fund. We manage a fund of worth 750 million euros, and from the proceedings, these are private investments into companies or loans and so forth. Or other funds. From the proceedings we generate from interest and so forth, we fund our own projects. So we're not in that sense. We're not a public sector organization in that we're not dependent on the national budget, such as many other organizations, such as ministries and other agencies. But we're completely independent, and therefore we can sort of say our opinion about the future of Finland and not have to worry about what the politics is in Finland currently, and so forth. So in that sense, Sitra is quite interesting. That's why I said think and do tank. So not only a think tank, most think tanks have to find their funding from outside donors, but we can fund our own activities. So, and that's where the do part comes. So we fund projects of our own.
And of course, once these projects are up and going and social entrepreneurship is actually generating business, then it's self-sustainable. I suppose that's the...
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly... Sitra doesn't sort of operate alone. We try to look for partners in the Finnish society or elsewhere as well. We have some international activities, and we sort of try to be the initiator of activities, of change. And after like 2 years, our projects usually last 2 years. After these 2 years, we try to find a sort of exit. So a way that the activity that was born can continue by itself and be self-sustaining and not require Sitra's role in that anymore.
This sounds like a model, Mireta, that perhaps Norway can learn some stuff from.
Yeah, I know. How come we don't have our own Sitra?
I've said that to Mireta many times. I mean, you guys should have a sort of Sitra in Norway as well. You could easily have one, I suppose, but that's a political decision, I suppose, if it would be sort of part of a parliament or the government or whatever.
Yeah.
But then also, Sitra has changed its role for this Finnish society since it got started.
That's true. I mean, in the beginning, it was. I'm sure you have. I know in Sweden there's like Vinnova. If you know Vinnova, that's like Tekes in Finland. So. In the beginning, Sitra's role was like Vinnova.
Or Innovation Norway,
exactly. But that role changed because under the Ministry of Employment, they founded this Tekes. That's a bit of the history of Sitra.
Okay.
Not too much history, I think. It's more good to look at the future.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to the subject of why you're there in Finland, and that is that there's a seminar of the future of social innovation and megatrends. So what are the megatrends at the moment?
Sure. I mean, there's plenty of megatrends, and all megatrends are sort of everything affects everything. So it's always good to look at these megatrends. Sitra itself, I mean, if you guys are interested in our trends work, we publish once a year our Sitra's trends list, which looks at megatrends and what they are and how they affect, for example, Finland. You can find that on SlideShare, even in English as well, on SlideShare, Sitra's SlideShare. So Sitra's trends list 2014 to 15, you can look for that. But I'd say, for example, in relation to yesterday's talk, Professor Robert Putnam was giving a keynote speech yesterday, and today we'll continue this discussion and workshops around that, I suppose. One is, of course, this growing inequality, and that's a big mega trend globally, and even looking at the Nordic region, I mean, we're very used to this welfare model we built in the Nordics. But I think even that's being challenged nowadays, and especially here in Finland, it's been since last year. I think there's been a growing concern and public discussion on growing inequality, not only economic inequality, but for example, inequality in learning. So, for example, the school system, how that works. Robert Putnam also talked a lot about that yesterday, of course, from the US perspective. But this is something quite topical right now. And then with the sort of downturn in the economic situation, and a lot of cuts being made to the national budget, this is a growing concern here in Finland. Mm.
So what was coming on to Robert Putnam yesterday, who, as I understand, he's a specialist of the effects of inequality in the US. Obviously, the US being one of the economic powers, I would imagine all countries have their own little cultural variations of what inequality is for them. What was he saying are the concrete effects in the US?
Well, I'd say one thing he really emphasized, going back to this economics thing, I think it was quite interesting because in the end, we talked a lot about taxation, for example. This progressive taxation model, for example, that's at least here in Finland, and I'm sure it's very similar in the taxation system in other Nordic countries. That's only one part of it. And I think one point that Robert Putnam really put out well is that we shouldn't only sort of focus on this economic inequality and, for example, taxation, because it's more about the social capital. And the big problem is that people are more and more alone really nowadays. And if you look at kids, how many people do they have worrying about them and worrying about their issues? And sort of that's disappearing. And then this trust as well, the trust in society and the loss of empathy really in the US. He talks about that. And that's something we can relate very much here in Finland as well. This individualism growing in our cultures has sort of changed. And for example, one example, his book is called Our Kids. And one example he brought out is our notion of what is our kids. Before it used to be our kids are, for example, everyone, all the kids who lived in one city, for example, were our kids. But that has changed. Nowadays, when we talk about our kids, we really talk about our biological children that are sort of, and that has sort of narrowed and sort of worry about less about the whole society and more about really about our close relatives.
Okay, so what's happening today then at the seminar? What are you getting on with?
Well, I'm not quite sure because they're on the other room, but the idea is that we have around 30, 35 people attending today. I think about a third are foreigners, so coming outside of Finland, and two-thirds are Finnish. And these are people from different organizations, from the public sector, third sector, even some company representatives, I'm sure are here. And the idea is to really... we have a couple of presentations on scaling up. So some of the actors here in Finland who work a lot with social innovation, and then we'll have some workshops. So in groups thinking about different topics. I'm not quite sure actually. Perhaps you know more about the content specifically. And then in the later afternoon we'll have an open session so people can sort of present what are their own concerns, their own work, and other people get other people involved.
Okay. I mean, the main interest here from the point of view of having this Impact Coffee today is the scaling up part. So I'm interested to find out how you're catering for that. Are you catering for it, for example, on a local individual country perspective, or is it a global perspective, or both? How are you approaching the subject of scaling up?
Well, I think one good example is this event as well. I mean, if you think about scaling up, the fact that we should do more cooperation and knowledge sharing between different Nordic countries, I'm sure is one part of this scaling up, because we have very similar problems and the solutions are often, if not the same, then very similar, and we can learn from each other. So I think that's one part of it. One, of course, is one very interesting topic, I'm sure. It's in our program as well. We'll be talking about this impact investing. So what's the role of, for example, what's the role in the future of say, for-profit organizations that want to do, or I think someone yesterday mentioned for benefit, or what was the term?
For
benefit organizations. And how do we sort of get these service providers, impact investors, and then the sort of owners, which can be the public sector, getting together and finding new types of cooperation models and business models where a social gain to for example, the society is also a benefit for the service provider, which can be a public or third sector organization, and then have an investor also come in, because a lot of the times it's about then finding the funding and that for your social innovations or solving the problems is one major role in scaling up.
Are there any other sort of factors of resistance when scaling up in your experience? And you can take this from a Finnish perspective. I'd be very interested to hear.
Well, one is kind of generic is of course like structures. I mean, the world, if you think of from a foresight perspective, the world is changing really fast and sort of feels like the pace of change is always increasing. But we've sort of built these structures to an old world. So how do we get rid of these old structures and build new structures? For example, digitalization has changed terrifically how society and how people interact. But then we still have a lot of old structures which sort of don't allow the efficient use of new technologies, for example.
I know you're very keen on, or one of your focus areas is the sort of the collaboration between the individual activities. It's not about individuals going as fast as they can. It's about making sure that everybody is working together, having a common understanding. And, okay, you might be moving more slowly, but because you're moving together, it's actually faster. Mm-hmm. What specific measures are you and Citra focused upon to ensure that happens in Finland?
Yeah, well, this is an interesting point. I'm thinking about yesterday. Robert Putnam gave his speech, and then we asked a Finnish researcher to give a commentary on his speech, and she brought out Maria Ohisalo is her name. And she's been researching poverty in Finland. She's been studying, for example, these bread lines we have for people who go to shops, the leftover food, and then she's also been studying substance abusers and so forth. So and she pointed out that, for example, in Finland, I don't know what the case is in other Nordic countries, we sort of tend to focus on averages. So we think about, okay, well, the average well-being of Finland is really good. So we don't sort of have a problem. But it's the problem comes that you really should look at the top 10% and see how those are doing. And that's when you really find out the problems. So in that sense, now that you talked about how getting everyone along is faster.
Okay, so you've got today to go and you've had what sounds like a good day yesterday. What do you both personally want to get out of the event? And Marietta, I'll come to you afterwards with the same question. And also, what do you want to get out of it for Citra's benefit?
Well, I think the greatest benefits with all these six events is always that you just need to spend 5-10 minutes talking to someone who comes from outside, and you already notice that, hey, there's a lot of things we can learn from each other. Just yesterday, we had dinner after the event. I talked to an Estonian. We also have Estonian here, so it's cool how the Nordics is expanding.
Yeah.
But just as an example, I mean, 5-10 minutes, and she works with impact investing, and she's creating the first social impact bond in Estonia. And that's fascinating because I've never heard about these activities being done there. And it's very, very sort of close to what we're doing. So, I mean, that's I think those are the greatest benefits. But even I'm sure that even in the discussions, we can come up with some new ideas on how to solve. Of course, one day is just one day, but it's really creating these links with each other. That's the greatest value, I think, with events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you, Marietta, what are you going to come back and tell us? You're going to come back and tell us exactly what to do, what we need to do here, right?
Oh, yeah. Not a problem. No, what I always get from these events is that I make new friends and new colleagues, which I think is really important, because then when I go back and I do my job, I might need to know something about something specific that's happening in another country. And then I have someone to reach out to and, you know, ask, can you help me with this? Do you know what's happening in your country? Which is, you know, a really good, you know, way to learn about the situation without, you know, taking too many steps at the beginning. But at the same time, I just like the things that I want to learn more about during this event is, yes, you know, scaling successfully, but how do you also scale the way you measure your impact successfully? Like, how do you make that happen without it one or the other kind of taking over the main part, if you know what I'm saying? So, and then there's a guy here, his name is Anthony. He works with setting up theory of change models for nonprofit organizations so they can see, you know, why are we doing what we're doing and how do we measure whether we're actually succeeding on that or not. And I'm going to have a few serious conversations with him, I'm pretty sure, to see, like, okay, so you set up this theory of change to say this is what we're doing and this is how we know that we've succeeded in doing that or fixed that problem. I want to ask him, like, okay, so when we scale that, how do we do that? How do we keep that model following the growth of the organization, I guess. Yeah, I think that's it. New colleagues, and then specifically learn more about scaling, how to measure social impact.
Yeah. And how do you, I mean, I find it very interesting you have Citra, part of the Six Nordic Group. We have Worldwide Narrative, part of the Six Nordic Group. Two extremely different type of organizations.
Yeah.
We could say. What's your take on that, Moretta?
I mean, I think we're still just a startup, my company. We've only, it's our fourth year in December. No, I mean, January, we're fourth year, starting on our fifth year. And it's really interesting to collaborate with Citra, and we have so much to learn from them. But at the same time, we're like, did you say 150? People?
120, 130. Changes a bit.
Yeah, 130 people. Right now, we're two. So that's like, it's a powerhouse. It's a giant. And we're just like a little, you know, whatever. But to us, it's really, I think the whole Six Nordic collaboration in itself is very much an example of cross-sectorial collaboration, really, because we have Citra, and then we have a Forum for Social Innovation, which is funded by the government, I think, in Sweden. And then we have Social Plus, which is a foundation or a nonprofit organization supported by a foundation. And then you have us, which is, you know, just a social entrepreneurial startup. So that's four very different organizations collaborating across the countries, trying to connect people locally so that, you know, they join us on these events, really, because this is where the magic happens. And it makes sure that it keeps happening after, you know, because then, you know, now I can contact Ernesto and say, hey, do you want to talk at Impact Coffee?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a diversity, a real diversity in the members of the Six Nordic Group, which is crucial.
Mm.
Yeah. Great. I'm going to open it up for questions.
Hello, Rita. Hi.
Hi, Chef.
I just wanted to know if there's some sort of a forum to share ideas and, you know, keep the so the conversation continuing and so on. Simple as that.
If we have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the Six Nordic Group on Facebook.
Okay.
But I think, I mean, the conversation really gets going when we meet each other and then afterwards amongst the people that have met each other. So we don't really have a very active online forum just yet, but...
Okay,
we do have group.
Yeah, I mean, you know, more or less, because it's always good to see the conversation going beyond just this.
Yeah.
And you get ideas at the weirdest possible time. So if you could just type in and then a group of people, whoever, could just come back to you and share the ideas and they'll give their point of view. So, yeah.
Yeah, see, yeah, this is the Six Nordic, of course. I mean, the Six Nordic for... Then just also to mention, Citra, of course, has as well, we have many different kinds of forums because there's so many people working on different kinds of projects. They usually all work in different kinds of forums. So, I mean, if you're interested in, for example, what Citra does, it's always good to check out citra.fi website. It's also in English. And look at what kind of activities, in what themes we're working on. If you find a theme that you're interested in, you can find the contact details there, and they can pass on where the action is happening, I suppose.
Okay. And the other question is, it's a bit very it's different. Anything Citra is doing related to the current refugee crisis?
Yeah, this is a very, very good question. I mean, it's highly topical right now. We have part of our impact in investing focus area. We're just starting a new impact incubator. So a startup incubator for startups that are focused on impact. So social impact. And there were four themes that you could apply for. There's 10 startups now starting in December. And there were four themes that they could be sort of working on. And one of these was, of course, immigration. I can't remember specifically what kind of startup is working on that issue, but it wasn't sort of the most popular. I think six out of the 10 are working on child-related issues, like children. But I think but this is a topic we're thinking of very much, and of course it runs by. We don't have a focus area right now that's specifically working on immigration, but this theme has of course popped up a lot of times, and we really have to think about how we at Citra are going to work with this issue. Good question though. It's very, very topical right now.
Yeah, we actually talked about it a lot yesterday during the dinner, how the situation is in Sweden and Finland and Norway, and sort of compared. And Anthony and Kalle. Kalle is from Citra, and Anthony is the guy that I was mentioning before, working with Theory of Change with nonprofits. And we're kind of feel like there's a huge divide in all the countries. And it's like, even though, I mean, the consequences, we are just focusing on the debate. We're not really focusing on the consequences of whatever happens, was very much where the conversation ended. Like, so yes, we want immigrants to come here. But Anthony was talking about Sweden, like, we want immigrants to come here, but do you want someone to be your neighbor, an immigrant to be your neighbor? And then their response was, no, I don't. So it's kind of very much still that it seems like that's what's happening in the different countries. We're still debating that, but we're not really thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I agree. I mean, this is something we really have to, in all of the Nordics, I mean, this is a global issue, of course, but now in Europe, we sort of have to wake up, because this is just the tip of the iceberg when you think about it. This isn't something that it will come and we talk about it in the newspapers and then it will pass, because it won't pass. I mean, this is a growing issue, of course. And it all comes down to, I mean, these are global changes. We talked about megatrends closely, and immigration, of course, is sort of one megatrend, although you can talk about whether that's the megatrend itself or, for example, whether climate change is the megatrend that's leading to you know, drought and therefore crises and therefore increased migration. But this is a major issue, of course, a global issue, and we really have to wake up here in Finland, especially about how are we going to tackle this issue.
Yeah, I think it's a really super interesting topic. I saw it was a few months ago, really before the crisis came to full blows in the media, and there was an article on the BBC news website, which was posted on Facebook, and it circled all the times where the article referred to immigrants, and they crossed that out and said people. And the very fact that we refer to these people as immigrants, the very fact that when we, well, I represent the white proportion of the West, so when I go abroad, suddenly I'm an expat, you know, I'm not an immigrant. So we have these fundamental terms that we use, that we're all used to, that I think are barriers to really you know, seeing these people as our brothers and sisters, which is really effectively what they are. And I think it's interesting as well, you know, it's like, yes, we welcome to our country, but not living next door. It's like not NIMBYs, they're called, not in my backyard.
I think that's a highly relevant point. That's very important for us at CISRA, because we're this societal actor and work as a think tank for the Parliament of Finland. Terms which we use in society and in media are very important to us, and we sort of follow and try to bring up new terms and so forth. That's one of the activities we do at CITRA. So I think this is a very good point. I have to keep this in mind and talk about this in CITRA, because we here in Finnish, it's Maahanmuutta, and we these terms are quite important. I think that's a very good point. It's a very good point.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much. It's been super interesting. I was curious, now that you're there and we want to latch on to all of your knowledge and the people that you meet, could you both mention kind of top three people, organizations, or movements that we should follow in the time to come?
That are here, participating here.
Yeah. Or you could even think broader.
Oh, that was a tricky one.
That's a very tricky one.
Good question, but. Well, I think you should definitely follow CITRA. I mean, after we partnered with CITRA, I've actually been checking your website quite a lot, because I see you post a lot of really interesting articles about the work you do, which I think is relevant for people outside of Finland as well. But I also think that you should check out Social Plus in Denmark, in Copenhagen, because the work that they do as well is very interesting and very important. They work a lot with the municipalities in Denmark and the public sector. What else?
I think that's quite a case-specific question as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I for me to answer that, I need to know what you're sort of interested in as well. It also depends on what your interests are. Everyone here is super interesting, so you should follow it.
Good point. But yeah, we have yet to meet a lot of the people, actually. I have, because, our flight, we left Norway at 5 in the morning yesterday, and we arrived in Helsinki at 5, and we nearly didn't make it. It took us 12 hours to get to Helsinki. So we missed out, Camilla and I actually missed out on the presentation, and we joined the dinner and had a really good conversation during the dinner, but then we were like, we have to sleep. So I still feel like I have yet to meet a lot of people, but I think there was one lady from Finland here that I really want to talk to, and she's working on innovation and public sector and municipalities. How can they work more with innovation? And then Kalle was talking yesterday about something that you guys have working, how you can make people employed in the public sector embrace more the attitude of innovation. And then he was also talking about how you have a very distinction between, you don't say a civil servant, you say a statesman, like someone. Yeah, well, I don't know what that would be in Norwegian, but that's a very different perception. Like, I am a statesman. I'm here. I mean, I'm the authority of something, but a civil servant is, I'm here to serve you. And that's part of that whole change of the culture of innovation, I guess, in public sector. And he also said that the public sector in Finland employs like 50% of the population.
I don't think it's 50%
that's
of the population,
a lot.
But it's very, very high. That would be 2.5 million. I don't think so. I can't remember the exact figure.
Yeah.
But of course, it's very large. I mean, the public sector is a huge employer in Finland, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But that's a good point. And once again, we come back to these terms I mentioned before. It's this point about virkamies, it's in Finnish. Virka is sort of this post you get in the public sector. So you have this sort of post.
Embedsman.
Which means it's like forever, or it has been. The idea has been that you get this post and you'll be employed in that sort of role forever. So I mean that's why everyone in Finland in the past has wanted to work, for example, for the public sector, because you can never be fired. That has changed, of course. It isn't that way anymore, and they're all the time trying to change these, because one other mega trend and future topic is, of course, the future of work. And what is that? And that's changing dramatically as well. I mean, and a notion of you working for your entire lifetime for in one task is sort of absurd nowadays, when people do more project-related work and they do, for example, part-time work and stuff like that, or as entrepreneurs and so forth. So, I mean, this, but we still have this term, virkamies, which, and then the notion of civil servants. So the idea of you having to serve, you know, the society is much smarter than being someone who just gets disposed and sort of forgets what he's there for.
Forever.
Yeah.
Okay, I think...
Any other questions? Yes. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi, I am the public sector.
Yay!
No, I'm employed. It's been a 50% six-month position that's now been rolling, and now it's 100% for 1 year, so it sort of creep into, you know. But it is the public sector, and I think it's a very important role.
Yeah.
And it brings up all sorts of questions. I don't quite know where to begin. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you for bringing up that inequality is social capital as much as financial, because I think that's in my role in Tøyen area of Oslo. It's incredibly important, this social capital. And part of what we're doing is trying to support local people who've got good ideas on how to make their community better. And those people are often new to Norway, but they don't have the social capital. And so therefore, by opening our networks to them, suddenly we can set in motion all sorts of things, just by saying, we can open these networks to you and give you those networks. So that was one point. The other thing I wanted to talk about was innovation and scaling. I mean, the whole title of where you are, and the overlap between traditional innovation and tech innovation and scaling and growth and all those kind of terminology into social innovation. Does it really, is it a parallel process? Because when you're measuring impact, and something that I get slightly sort of frustrated by is this focus on growth and innovation, particularly perhaps the words from the public sector. When they look at innovation, they just say, we need to make new arenas and get people talking and we'll have innovation. And I'm not sure that that's where social innovation is really going to come from and get applied. They'll talk about it, but if we're actually going to get it into the system, that we need to do something far more pragmatic to start that innovation process. And therefore, when it comes to scaling, I don't know if there's a therefore, but it's a random parallel thought, is that when we talk about social innovation, quite often we're talking about replication rather than scaling. And that focus that we take an idea and replicate it in contextual position in different places is perhaps a word that we should be focusing more on than scaling, because it gives the implication that one thing should become big. And I'm not sure that that's where social innovation's really going to make its biggest impact. And then that's the last point, is something to do with this impact in your Antony bloke. And I watched something from Estonia. They were doing really good things on measuring impact. Is that right? And how, what can you bring back, Marietta, that we can actually use on a small basis and copy? I've got some ideas about how to start the people we're supporting on how to measure their impact, but how, have you got anything else really concrete that we could use as a starting point? Because I've got some ideas, but we're going to have to do it very soon. So if there's something we can copy and replicate into Norway, that'd be really interesting to hear about.
What I'm actually taking out of what you're saying, Sarah, is that I don't think that social innovation is always about scaling an organization. And with that, I mean, like, I saw that Epleslang, they've scaled really, or replicated. So it's a franchise that started in Stockholm, exactly like Epleslang. So that's a social entrepreneur. But I mean, social innovation can also be a movement, I think. It doesn't have to be a massive social entrepreneurial organization. And I don't think that we should think that all the, like, one solution works if we just copy it and take it. If it works in Helsinki, it doesn't necessarily work in Oslo, because there are different people and different infrastructure, different, you know, topics that are concerning the populations, although we do have similarities. So I agree with you. It's a good way to think about it. It's not, maybe scaling isn't always the right word. It's replicating. And spreading, maybe also, it's also more about spreading ideas. that changes attitudes, I guess. But I'm going to try to see if I can bring something concrete back.
I have a couple of comments. I think there is a very, very interesting thoughts. And you already mentioned this. What are we scaling? Are we scaling the innovation itself or an organization, for example? So there's a difference there. I think one important thing about this is system analysis. So thinking about systemic change, that's what we try to do at Citra. We always try to see how do we create systemic change? And that's really about scaling, I think. That's how you make big changes, is if you think about the system and how do you change the system itself. So that's very important, like the system thinking, very important both for a future organization in foresight work, but also as a societal change maker or agent. So thinking about this system and how do you change it. And then about this replication, I agree. I mean, of course, you can replicate things. It's one good example. We did experiment. One of our focus areas did was in Jyväskylä, a city in central Finland. And we have school lunches, free school lunches for kids. And a lot of these school lunches, of course, if there's left over, they've been thrown in rubbish. And that creates, of course, a lot of waste. And they did this experiment about selling these to go to waste, the school lunches for 1 euro afterwards. Like after the school lunches ended, anyone could come to the school and buy these lunches for 1 euro. And then it was very popular. Of course, people came there and bought the lunches and then it made, you know, local news. But after that, other schools as well realized that, hey, this is a good idea, and they started doing it. And that actually spread nationally. So now I think they even still do sell these leftover school lunches for a very small price for the cost of actually, it's not the cost of food. I think it's the cost of cleaning or something else, whatever they can cover with the 1 euro. But that's an idea of replication as well. I think these are sort of both. So this system thinking and then replication, I think these are 2 points that you could take into account here.
I just want to add something to that. Because I think that's one of the challenges that we have as well when we talk about this, that we're always using abstract terms. So the more we can use examples like that, the easier it is to understand what we're actually talking about. And I also think that when we're talking about systems, it doesn't have to be a national system. It could be a local system as well. Mm-hmm. But you look at that system to see what's wrong. Exactly. But when we say system, it sounds so big. So it's like daunting. Like, can we do something about that? I don't know. But so I mean, scaling something doesn't have to be that you are going to change a system globally or nationally. It might happen, but it might also just be locally.
Mm-hmm. I liked what you had to say there, Sarah, and it just gave me some thoughts about replication and social innovation, where social innovation isn't just about coming up with new ideas, but it's also about adjusting or interpreting these good ideas and replicating them in another area and innovating around how it's going to work in another area, which is super interesting. And I'm associated with an organization called Massive Small, which is all about small interventions with big impact. Well, they're picking up stories in Germany where the government is selling land to local communities that are coming together, and then they themselves are the developers of that land, and they're writing about those stories and the experiences. So there I see a platform in urban development, at least, for this social innovation around replication. So yeah, thank you for that thought. Are there any other questions before we...
Yeah.
Yes, good. Just sit here. Okay.
My name's Homa, and I work for the International Organization for Migration. And so quite a lot of things resonated with me. One of the things that we've been working very hard with is the situation in Europe and the increased migrant flow. And other things, we work on many migrant issues, and one of them is to raise a positive narrative of migrants and migration in countries. And I think IOM UK have a hashtag I Am Migrant advertising campaign going on right now, and we're hoping to build upon it too. So I was going to suggest to you that maybe you should contact IOM Finland. And what struck me as being quite irony is when you were talking about inequalities and how our perception of empathy and our children on a global, like a Before, it used to be it takes a village to raise a child, and now we've become so isolationist and insular. And the type of people I'm trying to help are the marginalised who come from non-Western European countries. So they come from a model where culture and community are very important. They then come to Northern Europe, where it's very isolationist, and then we try and help them by developing this model that goes back to their roots. So the irony is, yeah, quite apparent. And I've also been going along to Innovation Norway, so I was very interested to hear how your institute evolved from like an Innovation Norway type concept, because all I hear now is them talking about finding the next unicorn. And as Sara said, social entrepreneurship, it's not about being a unicorn or a decacorn, not at all. And as part of Innovation Norway's dream commitments, they have mentioned social entrepreneurship. So I was just wondering how you've challenged Innovation Norway to put their dream commitments into a strategy so they become reality.
That would be great.
I've written to Anita Trosser, because I also work for a brain coach. So it's like a tribute to Anita. But I've challenged her on the social entrepreneur aspect as well. So I was just wondering if you had anything concrete, or if anyone's coming with a challenge to say, make your dream commitments into reality.
Anita Trosset, by the way, is the administrative director of Innovation Norway.
Okay. Wow. where to start? You had very, 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 very interesting points. Well, in relation to this Innovation Norway, I mean, as I said about the history, I don't know whether, I mean, Innovation Norway has its role, I'm sure, in Norway. So I don't know whether it itself can transform into a different kind of organization. Citro was sort of forced to transform in the sense that in the beginning, we were like, I'm sure, like Innovation Norway, an R&D funder, but then a separate entity was created under the Ministry of Employment. And therefore, sort of, Citro was forced to think of a new role. First, it was private equity, so bringing private investments into companies in Finland. That's what Citro did back in the 80s, 90s. And then later in the 2000s, since the private equity market sort of developed and you had, you know, private actors doing that, then Citro sort of evolved into this think and do tank role. I mean, in Nesta, there's Nesta in the UK. I mean, you could look up also what's the history of how Nesta was sort of created in the UK. I'm not quite familiar with the history of Nesta, but I don't know, I'm sure, I don't know UK that well, but I'm sure there's a sort of Innovation UK or whatever it's called in there as well. And that serves a purpose. So in that sense, I think it's more difficult into transforming a sort of old institution that has its role, but rather creating a new one that could sort of become this. And in that sense, it's what I told Merete. I mean, you had your oil funds and so forth, or your Bank of Norway. I mean, Citra was founded by the Bank of Finland. So, I mean, but you would need that sort of societal push for that and political will to actually create this sort of independent organization that can think about the future. Sorry, this is a big question, and I think it's hard to give a sort of final answer to this, but I think that's something you could look into. Yeah.
Marietta, do you want to comment on that before we wrap up?
I'm not sure.
There's work to do here.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I definitely think that we would really benefit from having an institution like Citra in Norway. I'm not sure if that's Innovation Norway's role, and also it could be. It definitely could be. But I mean, the transition that Innovation Norway has gone through just now, and then all of the different institutions that were put together in order to create Innovation Norway, it had to be really painful for the people working there, I think. And the pain that Citra experienced came from, I guess it's similarities, came from the society at large, but still, I think maybe it would have to be a new organization, not Innovation Norway. I'm not sure. I can't really say, but I do think we need it, definitely.
But there's two parts to this, though. Of course, one part is also that we need this sort of idea of social innovation in all organizations. All of our sort of public institutions should sort of be social innovators. I think that's the whole role of being a public servant or institution. So in that sense, one social innovation in itself could be, how do we create this mentality in and these activities and these roles for all public sector organizations? I think that's very important. Of course, attitude is one, and we talk about that. This entrepreneurial mindset in Finland it has been highly topical. Of course, previously more about, you know, very traditional entrepreneurial mindset in creating companies that grow, but this entrepreneurial mindset also for social innovation, that's something that should be developed. Yeah.
Sarah, you've got a quick point.
A very, very quick point was that we have been challenging Innovation Norway on exactly this point, and we've been trying to set up something called SE Norge, SE Norway, which is SE for social innovation, economy, entrepreneurship, you name it, SE, sort of to have a national platform on exactly this kind of thing. And they have said, in the last debate I was in, they did say, the new head of the Bærekraft, the sustainable part of Innovation Norway, and the person in charge of all the startups, have both said that they are going to try and commit to supporting an independent organisation, but it will be in the course of 2016, perhaps, sort of thing.
Okay.
So we've got to get that on film, because it is on film, and we've got to cut it out and pay it back to them,
okay,
because they have said it.
Great stuff. That's a really nice way to end up. Thank you for that, Sarah. So it is 9 o'clock here. It's 10 o'clock over where you are.
Yeah.
We all wish you a very good seminar, rest of seminar, and look forward to seeing you here back in Norway, Merete.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ernesto, for coming in with your knowledge and your contribution today. Very worthwhile. So, from all of us here in Oslo, Dijkmans, goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Impact Coffee podcast. Post-production credits go to Chris McCormick from Splint, Arne Kvingstad, and the music was made by Ben McCormick and is protected by national copyright laws. Feel free to look us up on Facebook at Impact Coffee Oslo and join us at the next Impact Coffee being held at Deichmanske Main Library in Oslo. So until next time, go make some impact!